Welcome to Cats and Rats Podcast, covering your Florida Panthers.
Hey everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the Cats and Rats Podcast, episode number 8. This could be a good omen. Number 8 is one of my favorite, if not favorite number. So hopefully that will be good fortune for the Florida Panthers here heading into the playoffs. And we're going to break that all down here in a second. But before we do, I'm going to welcome my co-host here today. My other co-host, Nick Levine, is away, but Cody Stevens is here with me today. And how's everything going, Cody?
It's going pretty well. Excited for this playoffs. I mean, a lot of good series here to start, and then not including the Panthers. I mean,
oh yeah, we can get into that on the next podcast, and we're obviously going to do that with our post game show again. Our post game Twitter X Spaces. We're going to go live after every Panthers playoff game. We're going to break down like the Western Conference games that are going on live. So it's awesome if you join us as a speaker, as a listener, just someone in our chat as well. We've got like the text chat going on as well, because you're going to love it. Because, you know, if you're not on mic and you're just listening to us talk Panthers, you can listen to us talk Panthers while you're watching live NHL playoff games, right, Cody? Like all those matchups in the West, it's going to be pretty exciting.
I'm going to be doing that. I did that last year.
Cody is the king of the multitask. And well, because your girlfriend's a Canucks fan, but this year she's going to be tuning in because, you know, they've got a pivotal matchup against the Nashville Predators. So that all play out. So we're going to have a lot of fun, be it with Panthers or all matchups across the board. But Cody, before we get into this matchup with the Tampa Bay Lightning, how did the Panthers do this? End of the season, I'm prepping for the Leafs. I've got someone in our community, shout out Canadian Ryan, did us a hype video. Can't use it right now, unfortunately. Maybe if we play Toronto in the second round. I was getting our panelists and guests ready for our Spaces preview show to be Toronto Maple Leafs people. I had people lined up for that. And all of a sudden, the end of the year, we kind of, I'm not going to say backdoor our way, Cody, because we won legitimately over the Toronto Maple Leafs. But we kind of squeezed in there in that first position that we hadn't held on to for a while there, as Boston was starting to get wins in regulation and the Panthers would make ground on Boston and then they would lose that same ground on that very same night often. So we weren't seeing that throughout the season, and we were kind of running out of games at a point, and we're like, you know, Toronto has enough cushion on Tampa. They're not going to push up on us at the end of the season, which was great for the home ice. And
I mean,
we were doing well enough that, like, okay, we're doing well enough, but we're kind of settling in on this 2-3 matchup. So, Cody, like, how did this all happen? I'm flummoxed.
Well, I mean, it helps that the Boston Bruins lost a couple of games down the stretch here.
Oh, were they trying to blow those games?
I'm not sure. You would have to ask them. But, like, let's see here. After they beat us on that Saturday game in overtime in Boston, which I think everyone thought, including us two, were like, okay, then that pretty much sets up Toronto, Florida.
Mm-hmm. Home ice against Ottawa. They had that back-to-back there at the end.
Yeah.
Needed to collect, you know, a point or two.
They proceeded to lose 3 out of their next 4. And really, the last 2 games looking pretty disinterested. And Everton, like, here's the thing, Florida won 4 straight, Boston lost 3 out of 4. That's how this came to be, you know, with back-to-back shutouts of, you know, Ottawa and Columbus. But we expected to do that against those teams. And then and then you had the Buffalo game where it got a bit chippy, but, you know, cooler heads prevailed.
And yeah, then Buffalo's running around out there like Buffalo. You were that earlier in the season against us, and then they were doing that at the end of the year. I was like, that frustrated me.
Yeah. I mean, they blocked those shots at like the beginning of the year or hit like that. Maybe they would have been in the playoffs instead of.
Yeah. Maybe they would have got their coach fired that Cody was calling for most of the season.
I mean, that we could go on and on about them, but the Panthers finished out strong, and they always had the tiebreaker over Boston. That was the thing. Boston going to all those OT games. Like, the Panthers always had the tie. The Panthers probably owned the tiebreaker ever since probably, like, February.
Like, Boston was, like, historically on a pace. I don't know what the number ended up being versus the historical number of overtime losses, but they were, like, they were above it, I think, Cody, like, in November, December. January.
Them and the Islanders, and I mean, I'm seeing a lot of people be upset, namely Detroit Red Wings fans, for how the playoffs played out this year, because Detroit finished with 41 wins, and the Islanders and Capitals both had less wins than them, but both made the playoffs. So, and now people are going to start calling for this 3-2-1 system. It's a bit of a mess, but...
Mm-hmm. And we've talked about the alignment of, okay, the 1-8, you know, 2-7, 3-6, 4-5, bring that back. You saw that with who wanted the Metro position down the stretch. Like, the Islanders showed a little push late and were consistent of all things, their backup goaltender, Varlamov. But again, like, you know, Philadelphia falls out. I was kind of calling for that middle of the year when we were doing our awards season. And Tortorella, you guys were like, he's got to be the coach of the year. Obviously, he's got to get into the playoffs. But
yeah,
I saw that Ersson fall off, the goaltending fall off, just the youthful exuberance not carrying them through. Tortorella not pushing the right buttons like he was earlier in the year when he was pushing the right buttons. Again, that's all hindsight and 50-50.
But,
I just didn't see that Metro being – that's why I said at the beginning of the year, Cody, five teams from the Atlantic. It didn't happen. Yeah. But it should have probably if you look at Detroit.
Yeah, but like, in my opinion, you saw the turtle race that was his wild card spot, and I really wanted that. And I said on Spaces and here, I said I want the one seed, no matter if even if it costs us winning us the President's Trophy. But that little skit that they had there for like those 2 weeks really kind of put a damper on those hopes. But like I said,
you got your wish, Cody. I that totally blew my mind because you're like, I want first, and I'm like. Well, Cody did get his wish. Because I was thinking all along, 2-3, 2-3, Toronto. And like, it's still like, I've wrapped my mind. We're going to get into it here in just a minute here, Cody, the matchup. And I've got some numbers to share. So I have wrapped my mind around we're playing Tampa, but that first in the Atlantic, it's like, we're going to look back at that and be like, yeah, a division banner. That's really nice. But our goals is much bigger than that. Now this team, like I said, they have to go on a conference final-ish run. Yeah, for that banner to mean something and be proud of it. It's because of all the past trauma with Tampa, the President's Trophy year. Obviously, you get the Atlantic Division banner with that as well. So to our fan base, especially the newer fan base, Cody, it's not going to mean a lot. But this is something for the Panthers to have, what, three division titles in the last 10 years. I saw that Sportsnet tweet, and it was kind of neat to see that. It's like, we might not be running this division if you look at Tampa Bay's accomplishments and titles, but like, we're right there. Like, Boston can't say things to us, and Toronto definitely not an organization like Montreal, which, you know, went on their little Mickey Mouse run. But you know, we're getting arguably to that point of being the class of this division, and it starts now by knocking off our nemesis, the Tampa Bay Lightning.
I mean, this is something that I think a lot of Panther fans have wanted ever since the embarrassment that was the 2022 playoffs, with us being outplayed in not one but both of those series. And you could talk me until you're blue in the face. The Washington series, we were outplayed badly.
And, I'm with you there, Cody, completely.
And if it wasn't for Carter Verhaeghe, I don't think they ever would have. They would never would have even made it to the second round. But
Cody, the big difference here, and I know I'm jumping. Been ahead on some numbers that I have here, but we have Paul Maurice. He's like the new addition to this rivalry that we have not seen in the playoffs yet. This is going to be interesting.
There are two huge new pillars for the Panthers in this series: Paul Maurice, Matthew Tkachuk. Those are like the identity of these Panther teams are significantly different, and it's night and day. But you can't help but to think, like hoping that. If this isn't like 2022 where we just we're sick and tired of being little brother. I mean, let's just put it out there. We are. We've been little brother ever since 1993. It's
North American media is calling us. Them in Canada, up here north of the border, are picking the Panthers to win this series and giving the Panthers ultimate respect. It's like, it's that little brother syndrome. They've got to get over this demon. People from the outside know this now, Cody. There's nowhere to hide. This is a series you have to win. It was going to happen this year or next year or whenever against Tampa. And like they shared the Matthew Tkachuk press conference quotes when he came in to be a Florida Panther. It's like, at some point, our road is going to match Tampa and we're going to have to be able to run through them.
Yeah, it's just, as you said, he hates Edmonton, but he hates Tampa more now.
Yeah, and that's a smart, Matthew Tkachuk, he knows what he's doing marketing-wise. That's going to get pub on ESPN, TNT, Sportsnet, CBC, whatever European broadcasts are broadcasting the NHL. Like, this is going to get exposure. There's a lot of good series out there, Cody, like we mentioned off the top, but this series has a lot of juice, a lot of jam. And it doesn't even have to be like in game one, what it was in the first matchup against Tampa Bay, which everyone said that was the most exciting playoff game. That entire playoff run, that's crazy for people to say that, Cody, in round one, in game one, to be like, that's the best game. I don't think the Panthers have to go all out and put themselves out there, and they've got to see how the refs officiate this as well. That's going to be key to the series, keeping things 5-on-5. So there has to be a calculated risk to all of this, a calculated game plan. Yes, go out there, forecheck, try to run Tampa. They're not going to be as big and physical as we've been accustomed to them in the past, so we do have to play that way. But the Panthers got to be smart and stay out of the box.
I mean, the Tampa Bay Lightning, and I mean, if there's anything about them that gives Panther fans nightmares, it's that power play. I mean, like Nikita Kucherov, Braden Point, Steven Stamkos, Victor Hedman, you're not getting a better four in the NHL when it comes to the power play, especially. If you need a power play goal in today's NHL, you're picking those four. And you probably pick like one other net front. It doesn't matter who you pick, but those four are the catalysts of the Tampa Bay Lightning.
And you've talked about this often. They're so good, and our fan base gets frustrated by this. Why is our power play that? They've been together forever. They've got that synergy and chemistry. Chemistry matters. Synergy matters. Confidence matters, even in professional athletes. These are things that are going to be heavily favored into this series, Cody. I know, like, the analytics people and communities, they don't like hearing the word intangibles. But, like, this series is filled with it. And we're going to get into some X factors and players like that. But this series is based around, like, confidence, energy, momentum, coaches making little chess moves, the game within the game. That's what this series is about, and that's what I love about sports, personally.
And intangibles wins you championships. Like I said, the best GMs in the NHL don't only use analytics. They use a combination of the eye test and analytics. Because it's just, you can't just build a team based off analytics. It's just impossible nowadays. Because you go and look, because if we had a full analytics team, let's say Zito had full analytics, we never would have acquired Sam Bennett. We never would have acquired Brandon Montour. Like, those two had some of the worst analytics in the league when they were acquired.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Reinhardt and Tkachuk both had great analytics. But you just, like, but Montour brings in, like, and Bennett bring, like, the certain intensity to the playoffs. Yeah. I mean, you saw Montour last year against Boston. He was probably our best player that series. Without him, we don't win.
Yeah, man on fire. And he was chirping in between the benches. Darren Pang mentioned that. I think it was in game 7. He's like, this guy is chirping. Everyone, other players look nervous, quiet, focused. He's just running his mouth on the bench and out there being like the best player and a difference maker, not only in that game 7, but that entire series. So, like, we need that. Like, is our team going to have the confidence because this is Tampa Bay? Are some of these guys going to have short-term memory loss and be like, you know, this is a different team, this is a different year? Or are we going to see the Panthers be a little tentative and jittery? And if Tampa Bay gets an early power play goal or two, is the body language going to sink? We haven't seen that since the Jonathan Huberdeau and Mackenzie Weegar playoff teams, with that energy level sinking. Remember the famous shot of Huberdeau? I think it was at Tampa Bay, might have been at Florida, his head down on bench. We haven't seen that from this iteration of the Panthers when it comes to playoff hockey. Now, it's, again, we're looking at a one-year sample size last year, but we have a lot to look at last year. So, again, what is this team going to be like? Because I think under Paul Maurice, they do have perseverance and push through and togetherness and stick-to-ness. They have all of these things, and they're capable of it. But what will it look like against Tampa Bay if we do get down early? And, again, remember, game one, it's an early start time. So things don't go well on home ice. How's the fans going to be, Cody? Are they going to be really quiet, sitting on their hands? Need the fans to get into this. Whether we get down early or whatever, I need let's go Panther chants. Momentum swings are going to happen in this series. Fans got to believe in it and not be like, oh, here we go again mentality.
But
we can't have
one,
that.
But one big key that for this series, and it's been synonymous with this series, and this is why Tampa has won both series. Home ice advantage for Florida against Tampa has been absolutely horrible. They are 1-4 in five games against Tampa Bay on home ice. 1-4. And all four, and the one win that we do have. You want to hear something? The one win we
and
do
we were
have
a heavy underdog and won, I would say. Heavy, moderate to heavy underdog in the first series, Cody. And then the odds on favorite because we were the President's Trophy winner in the other one.
And just, and if you, and if you want a little stat, the last time we beat Tampa Bay in the playoffs at home, you want to know who the goal scorers were? All four goal scorers in that game are all gone. Mackenzie Weegar, Mason Marchment, Patrick Hornquist, Frank Vetrano. All four of those guys are gone.
I love those guys.
And it's just, you got to have someone new step up here. And I mean, the last guy to score, I mean, we all remember that the 2022 series where we scored three goals in that series, and one of them was a fluke. And that little loose to right and slap shot.
You couldn't buy offense. And when we did have good scoring opportunities, Vasilevskiy's just a brick wall. And that's always the case. We're going to get into him when we get into our.
But they have to win either game one or two. They have to. You cannot, for the third time, go to Amalie and be down 2-0. It's just impossible. You can't win like that. You cannot beat the Tampa Bay Lightning like that. I don't care what team you are.
I want to share a couple stats here, but I want to get right into our top five spotlight players of this series ahead and our X factor. And then we'll wrap with our prediction. Just kind of quickly and briefly of where we kind of see this series going. But I just want to share these stats before I pose you a couple questions here. 5v5, like I said, on our Spaces preview show is going to be key. Panthers, fifth in goals percentage when it comes to that. Tampa Bay, 27th. Goal differential, Panthers plus 35, which was fifth ranked in the NHL. Tampa Bay plus 21. 5v5, 26th in the NHL. That's going to be key in this series, Cody. And that's something to consider when we kind of talk about these spotlight players because it's going to be really hard. Do you want to start first? To your list?
I mean, I guess my first spotlight?
Oh, yeah. No, we'll go 5-1. We'll go 5-1.
All right.
So we want to count down. And again, can be Tampa Bay Lightning players, Florida Panther players, not who we wish to do well because we're not wishing Tampa Bay to do well. But if we're looking at it objectively, you're going to hear what my prediction is at the end of this podcast. So it'll make sense of my mixture of names that is on my list. But again, let's see. We haven't shared our list. Let's see, Cody and I, how many same names we have, different names. I know Cody's going to be surprised by my list. But yeah, go ahead with yours first there, Cody.
Yep. I mean, at number five, when you're talking spotlight, it's got to be Victor Hedman. Victor Hedman at number five here, because the one weakness that Tampa, the one strength that's turned to a weakness for Tampa has been their decor. They've had massive turnover ever since that last time we played them. Ryan McDonagh, no longer there. Zach Bogosian, no longer there. Luke Shen, no longer there. They have gotten smaller, you know, with guys like Nick Perbix and Darren Radish, but Mikhail Sergachev's out for this series too. So I think expect to see a fluid number six defenseman to say if they need to, which I think they're going to have to at some point in this series. And Hedman is probably going to play close to 27, 28 minutes a night.
Huge minutes in the playoffs.
And he actually may hit 30 if they're down. And
Or overtime sessions. It's going to be monster minutes.
It's going to be
They don't have the luxury that we do on that front.
There aren't many defensemen in the league that can play those type of minutes. So probably only two, in my opinion.
We got two or three on our roster, though. That's what I mean by luxury for the Panthers. They don't really have that. So they're going to need that from Hedman. Okay, number four.
Number four, I'm going to roll with Alexander Barkov.
There we go. Our captain, Barkov truthers in the house here. Cody and I always there supporting Barkov.
Barkov, I think this series is going to need to be more defensively minded than offensive minded. I know
That's what I was weighing into my decision on.
That's why it sounds weird, but it's the truth, because home ice, you're going to have last change. When Kucherov's out there, Barkov and Reinhardt have to be out there. That is your shutdown line. They are the best defensive duo there. And Barkov is going to make his $10 million this series defending that top line of Tampa Bay.
I thought he made it in the Carolina series. That's what we tell everyone. We like, you know, Matthew Tkachuk had the flashy moments. Bob was stellar in that, but that was Alexander Barkov's series against Carolina.
Yeah. And I believe, and I think me and you both believe that is his breakthrough.
Yep, that's his spotlight series. And I'm not, that's a little nice segue to my list in a little bit here. I need one or two guys that are on my list to have their spotlight series that they haven't had yet. So I think Barkov's had that. The monkey's off his back when it comes to that. The old core of Huberto, Uyghur, Barkov not able to get the job done. That can be eliminated, but Barkov does want to do some damage here against the Lightning. So that's your number four, your number three?
Matthew Tkachuk.
Okay, interesting. First name that you've mentioned so far that's on my list, Cody.
I mean, we're talking about a guy who was brought in to compete against the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Lightning are the reason why Matthew Tkachuk is a Florida Panther to begin with.
Yep.
And
that plot was lost this year with not playing Tampa that much this season, three times, which is the least amount ever, and then speed into the year. But now that storyline is coming right to the forefront here, Cody.
And like I said, that opening press conference is being replayed ad nauseum now. And the one thing he's got to do, he's got to get in the Vasquez kitchen. Got to get in his head. I need him to get in there and take some shots in there, because with him being in Vasquez's kitchen like that, those are free power plays, him and Nick Cousins. Like I said, that's why I said, like, over space, if people like want to trade Nick Cousins, like, no, that's a free power play in the playoffs if you really think about it. Are you kidding me? Like, we need Tkachuk to be his most pestiest rat type deal to win this series.
Yeah. And I'm going to add my points later, because I just mentioned that's the first guy that you've mentioned that's on my list. I've got some key points to him there.
But
anything else there on Tkachuk?
Not really, but number two, you can't have a top five without this guy on it. But he's not one, but he's two, because I just, you know, you're going to get his best, and that's Nikita Kucherov. I think he is taking the mantle as quote unquote the lightning player that kills the Panthers.
What a villain that guy is, though. What a villain. Like, just going to be like, I'm going to be spitting fuel watching him and his little antics that he does and big cheap moments that he comes up. Cheap shots. Any cheap shot, Barkov, I'm losing it that night on Spaces after the game. Yeah. I'm not going to talk. But again, he's back down since Tkachuk put him down there. Pretty quiet against us.
But
you know, like, doesn't get in our kitchen, isn't running his mouth, isn't running out there trying to run guys over and stuff like that in kind of a borderline dirty fashion. Tkachuk has really limited him from doing that.
That's coming back this series. There's no way.
Okay.
Nikita Kucherov plays this series without that. Without that little flair to him.
Well, get ready for the scrums and mayhem then.
Yeah, but I mean 140
down on that.
I mean, the reigning Art Ross Trophy winner, a top two candidate for the Hart. And in the two playoff series the Panthers have played against him, he has 18 points in 10 games.
And our co-host Lex, I forget about this, she called it in the preseason. If McDavid wasn't winning the most valuable player, her pick was Nikita Kucherov.
An unbelievable player. And I really think before the season, he was severely underrated.
Yeah, and that's because he's missed a lot of games, Cody, within regular seasons, and he just quietly puts up these massive seasons, and other guys get the pub because he's already got the rub in the past, and he's a champion, you know, a repeat champion. So, again, that's not his end goal, and I agree with you there. We got to be ready for Nikita Kucherov.
Still can't believe he's not a Conn Smythe winner, but hey.
So number one here?
The big cat net, Andre Vasilevsky.
Oh, okay.
Because if Tampa wants to win this series, Vasilevsky has to be their number one player.
Now, are you foreshadowing that you're picking Tampa Bay here? Don't tell me your pick, but is that what you're foreshadowing here? Because you got him at number one, so okay.
Because he is the guy that that could change the series either way.
Oh, undoubtedly.
He has the most swing in this series, which is why I have him at number one.
Okay. Because but they also have to be successful. That's kind of the basis of this list. Like, but if you're ranking guys within this list, they've got, like, it'd be like if we're playing Toronto. I might have four Florida Panthers on there and be like, oh, I'll throw Austin Matthews on there. But those guys have to prove it to us. Tampa Bay, they don't have to prove it, right?
No.
But yeah, are you kind of angling I kind of see where you're going. You're angling a long series. I'm starting to feel that.
It's going to be. If it's short, I'd be very shocked.
And
It's
if it's
just.
short, there's no way Andrei Vasilevskiy, unless it's Tampa sweep. I don't want to mention that, put that in the universe. But if it's a short series in the favor of the Panthers, no way that Vasilevskiy's at the top of
Yeah.
this.
And I mean.
I don't think in his head and we're beating them 1-0, 2-1, like we did against Carolina. That's not how it's going to play
You're
out.
gonna have to need a.
We're going to be pumping him with a lot of goals if we get to him. But if we
Yeah.
don't, we're looking at a lot of nail biting, close, low scoring games because of Andrei
And there's gonna
Vasilevskiy.
be a lot of frustration because he's gonna make a couple saves that,
Wow.
that's unbelievable. Maybe off a
Why do we have to
recap.
play this guy? Why do we have to play this guy?
Because I wanted to win the division.
It's like, and
And.
if we win this series, we earn it. I don't care. Oh, Andrei Vasilevskiy wasn't himself, whatever. I don't want to hear it, but this is going to be earned.
I mean, in the Toronto series last year, they beat him with point shots and screens.
Yeah. He did go under the knife after that,
Yeah.
for off-season surgery, but
But it's still a blueprint. There is a blueprint somewhere, and I mean, you played him enough times now. I mean,
Yeah.
but
Toronto showed you the blueprint, we'll see. So anything else on your top five there, Cody?
I mean, honorable mention, Brayden Point, Sam Reinhart. I know it's insane to not have Sam Reinhart on there with,
I'll put him in my honorable mention. I didn't make an honorable mention list, but Reinhardt
50
in my
something
honorable.
goals.
Yeah. And you and I love Reinhardt. We predicted last season that he would finish with the most points with the Florida Panthers, so we were just 1 year off on that. So we're big
Yeah.
Sam Reinhart fans.
It's
But
just.
yeah, I just yeah, it's just you can be kind of negated in this series, especially if it becomes a 5-on-5 series where both teams are not clicking on the power play,
Yeah.
which could be possible with Bob and
In
Vasi
any other
and
team, he's probably
structure.
in the top five. But this one, I no.
Now
And
that might be when we play Toronto or Boston, that might be a bigger
then
moment series. But we could be wrong.
Brayden Point. In my opinion, probably the most. He's one of the more underrated players because he is the only guy I've ever seen that could silently put up 50 goals. Silently. And it's just, he's killed the Panthers from that little bumper slot, just like Reinhardt has this year. And ever since like that Columbus series where they got swept and he was invisible. And I mean invisible if you look back at it. He's been nothing short but a playoff clutch guy. I mean, he's been great for him. It's just the top five here. I can't really put him in this situation.
Good honorable mention. I didn't really make an honorable mention list. I kind of put this together today, but it was giving it some great thought. But I would put Reinhardt in my 6-7 slot there. Kind of got open for debate for someone else, but I'll kind of go into mine here. Oh yeah, go ahead, Cody.
Number five for you. I'm
Yeah,
curious
number
here.
five. Bookending it nicely with yours there. I wanted to put him higher, but you'll see with my prediction later and some of my X Factor, well, my X Factor players. Andrei Vasilevskiy, number five. Again, I don't think you can leave him off the top five, but I think if Anthony able to get of the Bay here, it's not going to be Vasilevskiy in 1-2. But again, Cody, me having him number five here, there's so many players on both these rosters that it's just stacked across the board. I want to share Vasilevskiy's numbers all the time in the playoffs: 65, 42, 237 goals against average, and 921 save percentage. This guy has better numbers across the board in the playoffs than he does in the regular season. And we don't have to go into the numbers against Florida. Unbelievable numbers against Florida. So
Nine
Andrei
eighty one.
Vasilevskiy, 91. Oh my, not that number. But Andrei Vasilevskiy, number five. And that should be good for Panther fans to hear that. He deserves to be on the list, but only at number five. Now, Cody, you didn't have this guy on your list. Number four, Aaron Ekblad, your guy. I think we talked about Spotlight Series. I know you liked how he played against Toronto and Carolina. Also, one of our panelists, Danny, that was in on our Spaces preview show, huge Ekblad fan. When you left our preview show, Danny continued on and was talking about the brilliance of Aaron Ekblad. He loves Aaron Ekblad. This has got to be the series from, I know he's coming off of an injury here. He's good to go game one. This is a moment for Aaron Ekblad. Hedman, who's on your list, a little longer in the tooth, is going to be playing big minutes. Doesn't have the support that Aaron Ekblad has with Gustav Forsling, who's having a breakthrough season. And then Brandon Montour, who had a breakthrough season last year and was our best defenseman last year, I will say, in the playoffs. This is Aaron Ekblad's moment to shine. He's come off injuries before. He's not been available before. this is the time. It's a put up or shut up moment for some guys and a lot of guys that are going to be wearing red because we haven't got over the hurdle of the Tampa Bay Lightning. So I'm going to go Aaron Ekblad, number four here, Cody. Number three, one of your honorable mentions, Braden Point for me. Again, I think he's just been big and big moments for the Panthers. And remember, he didn't play against that last series, but that first series against Florida, when the Florida Panthers lost in six, Braden Point was huge in moments in that series. Game one in particular, that 6-5, I believe, loss, that heartbreaking loss. Braden Point in bumper position, he's going to be a big component to their power play. If it's clicking, it's not going to be all Nikita Kucherov. It's going to be Braden Point coming up with big moments in big game situations, and that's the type of player that he is. Number two, I agree with you there, Cody. Nikita Kucherov, I think you had him in that same slot there. What needs more needs to be said. We talked about already, you know, he's going to be up for the Hart, 144-point season, 100 assists, first winger in the history of the NHL to have 100 assists. And like you said, he's going to have a snarl on against these Florida Panthers. I hate putting him that high, but you have to on the season that he's had. And just how Tampa Bay has been the big brother in this matchup. And if they are going to take this series a long way and extend this series far, it's going to be because of Nikita Kucherov. I'll argue even over Andrei Vasilevskiy. And my number one, I don't even think I had him number one last year when I did these rankings each series, Matthew Tkachuk. I know I don't have Barkov on here. Honorable mention to Barkov, Reinhardt, those type of players, Monter, Forsling, but I think this has to be the Matthew Tkachuk series, Cody, and not in the manner that he has to come up in all the big moments like he did, like, say, in the Carolina series. He has to produce offense from the first period on, make a dime pass in the first period to keep Tampa Bay's defense honest. Second period, make a bone-crunching hit. 5 minutes into the third period, if the arena isn't up, big goal out of nowhere, you know, like that game six goal that he scored against Boston last year. Those type of things. Matthew Tkachuk has to be a constant force in this series. That second line of the Panthers has to be the best line with both teams in this series, if not right there close to being the best line. So Verhaeghe, Bennett, Tkachuk, Cousins, Bennett, Tkachuk. Tkachuk is the constant on that line. And Kachuk's going to get all the minutes on the power play too, Cody. We need to capitalize on the power play with a sweet dime from Tkachuk, getting in Vasi's kitchen, as you mentioned, getting screen shots, deflection, goals. I need to see that in this series and really start to rattle the cage of the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, but Matthew Tkachuk is also a point-per-game player against the Lightning in his career, 19 points in 16 games here. So he's had success against Tampa, and mainly ever since he got to Florida, he seemed like he's been pretty good against them too. So, but
My X factor quickly, Cody, Anton Lundell. I think the first pairing for the powerful Forsling Ekblad have to be huge. And that's why I put Ekblad on there. I would have probably put Forsling on there if I had more room to players. But Anton Lundell, that's going to be an X factor for me, where the Panthers do have the advantage when it comes to the bottom six. And I think he has to be a big factor in that.
Yep.
You got an X factor there?
I think your number four guy was my X factor, which is Aaron Ekblad. Because we've seen it over the years, and as I don't think it's crazy to say this, but when every defenseman in Florida is on at their best, Aaron Ekblad is a tier or two above Montour or Forsling. He is a Norris caliber defenseman at his best. And he needs, I don't think he needs to be all the way Norris, but he needs to be kind of what we saw against Detroit this year.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that consistent kind of aggressiveness, assertiveness, and that's going to be a big factor. So I like that, Aaron Ekblad, you did work in your list there nicely. Just quickly here, Cody, before we go here tonight, prediction, I'll throw mine out first. Throwing good omens out there, good vibes out there. I'm going to go Florida in seven. They get it done. It isn't going to be easy, but we talked about it on our preview Spacious show again. Make sure to check that out. But yeah, Panthers in seven is my prediction. Cody, yours?
And I have Florida in seven.
Florida in seven.
I really don't believe in, like, everyone saying, like, because I think some people believe, like, oh, Tampa has that star power that Florida, like, they have more star power. You can't sit there and try and tell me that their depth is not going to matter in this series. Depth, like the bottom six for, against each other, Florida blows them out the water. Like, maybe Nick Paul and like Mikey Aisama could do something, but fourth line versus fourth line, I'm taking ours. And I think bottom six, whoever gets the most bottom six scoring this series is going to win. They're going to win this series because,
Huge, huge. Even that fourth line, like you
yeah.
mentioned, huge.
And
Yeah.
it's just the depth for Florida. And when you go deep into a series, depth matters. So.
Well, Cody, we've put it out there. We've made our predictions. People have been DMing me, asking me. So there it is on the record. Florida in seven, and you're with me on that one, right?
Yep. I mean, I
Yep.
just can't see the series going short. I really can't.
Yeah. And I'm not going to test fate because I said that last time. So. But before we let you go here and before we bring David DeWorke, I just want to let everyone know Caneswear in Davie is the place for all your Florida Panthers needs. They have the latest gear for our favorite NHL team, jerseys, polos, t-shirts, hoodies, hats, and more. Caneswear has you covered. Stop by their store in Davie or on pantherswear.com. Again, that's pantherswear, WEAR.com for all your Panthers gear. And we're glad to have a guest join us here today on our Cats and Rats podcast episode. Someone that I spoke with last year during the playoffs. It's nice to have him back here with us here on the Five Reasons Sports Network. David DeWork, site editor and reporter with the Hockey News covering the Florida Panthers and also part of the goalie union. How's it going, David?
It's going good. Good to be back, Kirby, Cody. Good to not see you, but good to hear from you. And good to be back with some fellow goaltending lovers.
Of course, always. And I wonder if you'll be able to fit that into our first segment here. It's a great segue in. Three key storylines here, David. Take it any way you want with the Panthers, with the Lightning. There's so much to talk about here. Forwards, defense, on ice, off ice, fan bases, past history. But what are the three kind of key storylines to this series for you? And kind of delve into it a little bit with us. And if you could even rank them. There's so many to choose from, but if you could only pick three here.
Yeah, let's see. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind, I'm not going to be able to rank them because I'm just trying to pop things like the top things that are coming in. But the first thing that popped into my head when you started getting into this was special teams. I think that's going to play a huge role for obvious reasons. I mean, Tampa's got the best power play, and I think they're fifth on the PK. Florida's got the sixth PK, they're right behind Tampa. And what had been a very formidable power play for basically three quarters, if not more, of the season until it took a nosedive towards the end with, Barkov was out for a little while, Verhaeghe was out at the end. So, a couple of key elements were missing. Ekblad also. So, if the Panthers' power play can kind of round back into form, but a big key is going to be, as we saw late in the year, staying out of the penalty box because the last couple of games of the season, Florida seemed to get clicked back into that. But there was a point where they were taking like four or five penalties a game, and you cannot do that against Tampa Bay because that is a way to let them into the series and let them really hurt you. So that's like number one. Number two, I will go the goaltending route just because A, for the
Love it.
Panthers, it proved to be such a critical element of their run last year. Bob was just otherworldly for the end of that Boston series and basically the entirety of the Toronto and Carolina series, and carried it right back into the regular season this year, his most consistent regular season with the Panthers, six shutouts, dwarfing his numbers the first four seasons he was with the Panthers. So Bob maintaining at that level rather is going to be very important for Florida. And then obviously on the other side, you've got Andrei Vasilevskiy, who had a bit of a down year coming off an injury. He had surgery in the offseason, so maybe it took him a little while to get going, but certainly started to show at least more than a few flashes in the second half that he was still had that Vezina Vasi in him. So the goaltending could certainly play a huge role in this series and steal games for either team going either way. And I'm kind of going back and forth here for the third between the history of the teams, both the playoff history and just their natural hatred geographically for one another, and the depth, because I think that's kind of something that shifted from the first two playoff series against Tampa, where you had two Tampa teams that were incredibly deep. That was a big part of their bread and butter, why they went to three straight Stanley Cup finals and won back to back. And now you've got a Panthers team this year who, not just this year, but more so this year, that's become a huge strength of the Panthers is their depth. And now they're entering the playoffs completely healthy. They've got four forward lines, or excuse me, they've got five forward lines. They've got four sets of defensive pairings. And they've got perhaps the best goaltending tandem in the NHL this year, arguably. So I think that's going to be a big key in why the Panthers believe, and why a lot of people believe, that the Panthers are going to beat Tampa this time around compared to the other two, is just because Florida now, not only are they equipped with a lot of high-end talent, which Tampa also still has, but Florida's got the depth. Florida's got the bottom six forwards that by far and away better than Tampa's. And then the defense, just the back line, Tampa used to have a very big, tough, I mean, you remember like Hedman and McDonough.
Like Vegas.
Yeah, well, exactly. Vegas last year, their back line was huge, and it was very deep. So now the Panthers can kind of throw that back at Tampa. So I think that'll be my, well, I give you four, but you know, those would be my keys, I think, off the top of my head.
Before I throw it over to you, Cody, totally agree with David on the third key storyline there. And I want to comment on the first and second one that he mentioned there. A lot of our community blames me, David, because I said at the beginning of the year, man, we're being very disciplined hockey here the first month or two into the season, not like Paul Maurice Panthers team of last season. And then it just nosedived from that night on, right, Cody, that I mentioned it on Twitter. And I think the Panthers finished second most penalized team behind the Ducks there. And I love David mentioning the goaltending. Just a stat I have on Vasilevsky here in March, he's 8-1-1, his best month of the season. 239 goals against average, Cody, and a 915 save percentage. But his worst numbers this year were against Atlantic Division, as we mentioned last night on our preview Spaces show. 325 goals against average and 898 save percentage. Cody?
I mean, with the goalie thing, I don't know. It depends on the fan's opinion. A lot of people think Vasi could be lost if they look at his base stats, because I think he was right at a 900 save percentage, this season, and goals saved above expected. He was somewhere in the 60s, I believe 62. But the one thing, I've learned from watching playoff hockey over the years. And the Panthers know this firsthand, too. I mean, if a goalie has been elite for about 3-4 years, and I mean at the pinnacle, top five in the league, no matter how old they get, they will always have that light switch on to kind of turn on for playoffs. We saw it with Martin Brodeur back in 2012. And that really kind of that was the first time I really sat there. I'm like, maybe it's just a light switch thing. Because I think Vasilevsky has that, because knowing Vasilevsky, he's a competitor, and last year he was not the best goalie in that series, and I guarantee you he took that into the summer, and now he's that whole Tampa Bay lineup's looking for revenge, and especially with the expected departure of Steven Stamkos, this could be their last ride with him, and that adds to it. But a question for you, David, because a lot of Panther fans, including myself, at some points just can't get out of our head the embarrassment that was the 2022 second round. Only 3 goals in 4 games, completely dominated on all fronts. I mean, forwards, defense, goalie, behind the bench. I mean, it was an absolute embarrassment, which is what has changed the Panthers till now. What do you feel are the differences? I wouldn't say in the lineup, but mentally about this Panthers team that is different from 2022.
I mean, can I say everything? It's just, it's night and day. You kind of led me into it, Cody, but basically, I mean, you had a team in 2022, 2021, where high intensity, high rush, big on transitions, turn and go, and high offense, obviously, but it was a rush game. You've heard Paul Maurice use that term a lot this year, where it was back and forth, and Florida came out on top more times than not because they had some really high-end talent. It doesn't work in the playoffs, and that's what they learned hardcore that year. And you kind of alluded to it, it was an awful sweep on a big season. You know, it was very tough to swallow for Panther fans, I'm sure, but we wouldn't be where we are now had they not gone through that, because it was that basically was the catalyst of what brought in the new coaching staff, the new systems, the new style, and that's where we are now with the Panthers. So I think it's going to be a huge difference in the way that the series looks. If you went back and watched a few of those games and watch what's probably going to be happening over the next, 10 days plus, it's going to look completely different. And that's because this Panthers team, and I'm sure you guys have talked about it ad nauseum, as many of us have, they're built for the playoffs. That's their whole mindset. That's why they play the way they play. And now they get to basically say, we've been trying to perfect this style for I mean, for 2 years, but really it's in this season that they've been able to turn the switch on it. Because even last year in the playoffs, where you saw bits and pieces of it, it was, they're still not the same team. They were still in the playoffs getting outshot. The defense wasn't quite as shored up. So there were still elements in terms of the way that they defend that I think have been shored up this season in terms of the five-man defense that they play. But yeah, I just want to see for their sake, I'm sure they want to see it, but just, is it going to work? How well is it going to work? And I think, like Matthew Tkachuk was saying, how it's perfect that they're starting it against Tampa. It's because, you know, you've got demons to exercise, and this is a team that you've had trouble with over the years, or has played them well this year. You know, they beat them twice. They put up a 9 spot in Tampa, and in the one game they lost to Tampa at home last month, they put up 50 shots. So I think the Panthers are probably feeling confident, and it's just a matter of seeing if they can see it through to fruition.
Cody, do you got another question? I got a couple to wrap with David before we close on this for today. But is there something else you got there off of David's kind of keys or things that are
pondering? David, if you could name your X factor for pretty much each team here, because, I mean, we know, like, all about, like, you know, Nikita Kucherov on Tampa and, like, Matthew Tkachuk for Florida, but are there any other guys that really need to make an impact this series for the series to go either way for each team?
I mean, outside of the goal, obviously the goaltenders, but, you know, like, one of the first names that popped into my head is Gus Forsling. He doesn't get talked about that much, but he's incredibly consistent. He plays a key role on the PK. He can step into power play anytime he's needed, but he'll eat up minutes. There's guys that are just so important to the Panthers, like Barkov and Bennett. I mean, they're going to be X factors, not just in this series, but just generally speaking, those guys are huge for this lineup, because if you pluck one of those top two centers out, it throws the whole forward lines into shambles a little bit. You got to start scrambling. It really can mess things up the way this Panther team is built. So I think, you know, if that's answering your question, I would think that that's the big thing. As long as those guys are healthy and the Panthers can continue to roll their forward lines the way that they've grown accustomed to, they'll be okay.
Yeah, that was something that I was going to throw David's way there, Cody, with the X factor. So I'm going to go to a fan question here, and Jack's pulled this one here. Jack Powell asked, one of our big time followers in the Boston area, he's asking, will John Cooper again be able to dictate officiating within the media in this series as he's done in the past prior playoff series against the Panthers? How do you feel on that one, David? I've spoke on that one quite a bit already in our Spaces preview show. I'm very passionate. I think there's got to be a little gamesmanship here when it comes to Paul Maurice counteracting with John Cooper.
I think Paul Maurice has gotten really expert level when it comes to navigating the officiating, and both the way he publicly handles it, which is where a lot of the messages get sent these days, or the way that he does on the bench. Like, you don't see his face getting red and the veins popping out as much lately as he did, you know, particularly like his time in Winnipeg and even before that, but even year one with the Panthers. Like, he's reined it in a bit. Even the way that he kind of joked about late in the season when the Panthers were getting called for a ton of penalties, maybe he didn't agree with all of them. He's just like, yeah, the league's given us a lot of extra practice, and that's what we asked for, so we're happy with it. So I think in that sense, whatever ends up happening, Maurice is just going to let it kind of wash off his back. But I don't know if John Cooper holds that same weight that he once had in terms of his influence, just because I think a lot of that comes with the winning and with being on, you know, the top of the mountain, being that top team. And Tampa, I mean, they really haven't been that Tampa team year plus. I mean, last year they were a good team, but they weren't three finals in a row scary Tampa. And this year they even fell off a little bit from that. And again, I'm not taking away from anything from how good of a team Tampa is overall, but when you're comparing it to a team that went to the finals 3 years in a row, that went back-to-back Stanley Cups, there's a little bit of a drop-off. And I think the same can be said in this regard with their head coach. So I don't think it's going to be as drastic as we've seen in the past. At least I hope not, for Jack's sake and for the rest of our sakes. But yeah, I don't think that it's going to be the same, just in terms of like Cooper's muscle, if you want to, for lack of a better term.
Such a Jack question.
David, I could ask you. It is. Well, he got off from the officiating this time, Cody, which I love from Jack. This time he's asking about the coaches. So he kind of pulled on my heartstrings there, because, you know, my kind of take on John Cooper, especially with some of the antics that the Tampa Bay Lightning have pulled with the Ryan McDonough, of course, boarding hit, and that led to the Sam Bennett suspension, Kucherov laying on the ice after he got love tapped by now his teammate Anthony Duclair. It's funny how those things work. So again, that'll be an interesting storyline itself with Anthony Duclair there. But before we let you go here, David, love to have you on here at the conclusion of these playoffs. Hopefully we go on another long run here. Any predictions that you want to put out there into the universe on this series?
Are we talking Panthers or just generally speaking?
Just in this series, who do you think this series favors? You got a number? How do you see this series playing out?
I guess for this one, we talked about it a little bit on my podcast with Roy Bellamy, mm-hmm. the hockey show today. It's hard to pick against the Panthers in this series. For all the reasons that we've just talked about, they're a deeper team. I think they're, they could be level goaltending. It's really awkward to say as I'm saying it now to think, to say Bob and Vassie are kind of on equal footing, but the way that things have played out this season in the last couple of years, you got to think it's as close as it's been in any of the time that these teams have been playing each other in this, current time frame. I think I got to take Panthers. It's just a matter of, is it five or six? I think I'd say six just because I could see Vassie stealing a game or two and this, this series being tight, these teams not liking each other. But overall, I think if the Panthers stay healthy, they're just the deeper team. They're going to be coming at Tampa in waves, and it's just hard to pick against pick against the Panthers right now. So I think Panthers in six would be my safe bet.
I love your confidence there, David. Before we let you go today, always busy guy. Appreciate your time here. Anything that you got to plug, let our audience know here. We always love sharing with our audience what you're doing. And we put it in our Jumbotron often too, Cody, after post games. We put a lot of David's tweets in there and articles and things like that. So, David?
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. You can find all my written work on thehockeynews.com/Florida. You can follow me on Twitter, X, whatever it is. No, let's just keep on Twitter. At David Dwork, where all my regular coverage and, into the minute stuff. And then my podcast is called The Hockey Show. It's on the Levitard and Friends Network. It's on the DraftKings Network. It's myself and Roy Bellamy of the Dan Levitard Show have been hosting it since last year. We have a lot of great guests and talk a lot of good hockey stuff. And there's a lot of Panthers talk as well. Maybe more than we should. That's my big stuff. That's what I got going on, fellas.
Yeah.
And you guys do a great job promoting it. I'm seeing a lot of the little videos and clips and things like that. When I sit down in the off season, Cody, I'm going to be going through so much different Panthers content and things like that. I know we get busy doing our thing, but we always try to do the best of promoting it and things like that. And obviously with Alex Baumgartner, with our network, Cody, anything on the way out?
Yeah. I mean, and really, once again, thank you, David, for coming in. Like I said, probably in my top three of Panthers writers currently right now. I mean, I've been reading your articles for as long as I remember. Once again, it was a pleasure to have you on.
Stop, Cody. Come on. We're friends now. You don't have to say that. Come on.
Sweet. And the David Dwork friend category. Let's go. But once again, appreciate you having you on. And I really got to agree with all your analysis there today.
Yeah, appreciate the time, David. And love to have you on down the road here. And as we always say when we go out, let's go, Cats. We'll